Congressman Tim Walberg about this. Congressman, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. We're glad to be with you.
What's your take on the debt ceiling? I kind of know where you're going to go with that, but I'd like to hear your perspective anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is all indicative of, and the more people hear about it, I think the more they understand that we have a spending problem in Washington, not a revenue problem. We've just taken in so much and have decided that rather than using the same tactics that most of us use in our household finance and business finances, whereby we cut up the credit card if we start to overextend ourselves and we do the discipline necessary, didn't do this in government. And now we are at a point where all sorts of dire speculations are being made, as well as probably expectations. So my principle is that we first deal with the spending problem. Put some strong structural reform in place, and only then would we, in a limited fashion, raise the debt ceiling for a limited period of time, and only to meet the pressing needs at the very moment.
Congressman, from your perspective, how much do we need to start, and I'd say in the next budget process, how much do we need to cut from that budget deficit?
Well, I think we need to do at least what the Paul Ryan proposal has done, what we've passed in the House and sent over to the Senate, a proposal that deals with 100% of our budget, not just the discretionary portion or the 40% that covers discretionary, military, and foreign aid. We've done that, but I think you also have to look at the whole area of entitlements, making sure that Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid are protected, that those that are using it, needing it right now, and soon to need it, are secure in the fact that it's going to be there. But then in the future, looking for areas of waste, of abuse, fraud that goes on, and we certainly know that's involved in the whole process of anything that it is called government. Let's look at that area and plan for the future so we might meet needs of people, but also make sure people understand that it's a high priority that they plan for their futures as well. So I think that's the direction we go, and Paul Ryan budget cuts the $6.2 trillion out. And the starting point here for the budget issue, we can't get the president to 2.5 or 2.7 as requested initially for this first approach to it. I think seriousness has to prevail, and we can't be talking about eating our peas and when, in fact, many of us have eaten our peas already and have done the tough thing. And I think it's time for the president to show leadership and not walk out of the room, but say, as Reagan said once to those who were meeting on a similar situation, sent him off to Camp David and said, don't come back until you have it settled, and then come back and we'll finish it. And I think that's the time now.
Well, if the president can tweet, you can get on Facebook, and you talk to a lot of your constituents, and many of their comments support your stance.
They do. And I think they're American people, when they have the facts, and that's why a program like this is important, as you look at all sides, and people make up their minds. But nonetheless, as they see the dire consequences that we have of defaulting, and yet understanding that sometimes there's tough love in a family, tough love even in a corporation, of saying this is going to be tough for us to go through, but when we get through, we'll be stronger. I think we have to make sure we don't just put the Band-Aid on. We don't put the imitation silk flowers on the tree to make it look like it's alive, and yet it's dead at the roots. And right now our country is just to some point at that point, and we have to do those tough things that says cut the spending, significantly cut the spending, beyond what we're going to raise the debt increase. Let's put structural change in place that is solid, such as a balanced budget amendment, a certain percentage cap of GDP on spending that's hard and fast, zero-based budgeting. Those type approaches will start to say to the public, we've not only got the attention of Congress, but Congress has realized that for the future, in order not to get back in this problem, we have to change the whole method of spending.
You offered and passed an amendment to H.R. 1309, the Flood Insurance Reform Act. Talk about that.
Well, as you know, all across the 7th District, and in fact all across the United States, the new FEMA floodplain maps have been started to be rolled out. And we found out that most of them are extremely faulty. And we have homes and businesses that have been put in floodplains that never have had a flood. Some have put it come into a floodplain by an inch, and has been now been forced to buy very expensive flood insurance. Well, I think FEMA has recognized it, and all across the nation, members of Congress have recognized it. And we've said we have to go back to the drawing board and make sure that these floodplain maps are correct. We certainly don't want the rest of the public paying for people who build knowingly in floodplains, but we also want to make sure that we know that it's a floodplain. So my amendment simply said for the foreseeable future until the new commission that's looking at the mapping and the rating process has come to a conclusion, we put a moratorium on forcing people to buy flood insurance for new floodplain areas that have not been in it prior.
There's been big talk of incandescent light bulbs in the news nationally because pretty soon we're going to be forced because of a law to use these. And I know that you've been involved in a bill that could repeal the energy efficient standards.
Yeah, we're glad that Fred Upton, our congressman from the southwest area of our state, who chairs Energy and Commerce Committee, was willing to put forward a bill that modified and went back to more choice. Most American citizens, myself included, believe that in America one of the greatest attributes that we have is the ability to make choices about how we live, what we do. And in the area of lighting, people ought to have the choice if they want incandescent bulbs and what they want to pay the additional cost for the usage of that. If that's the case, they do so. If they want to use the new fluorescent bulbs, compact fluorescent bulbs, then that's fine. But to put a mandate in place that for the most part says that is what you're going to use, in the future you're not going to be able to buy it, especially when there are some people, and I know several who I've talked to, and in fact won't come to my office in Jackson because we have government-supplied fluorescent bulbs, and they have physical problems from that. That's another concern that we have. So this bill was put forward to put that flexibility back in and take away the mandates. It passed in majority, but it did not pass in a two-thirds majority, which was necessary because it was brought out of committee under suspension. So we go back to committee, and hopefully they will bring out a bill that we can put forward and pass on a simple majority.
And I laugh at not someone's capacity not to be able to be around those kind of bulbs, but there are so many challenges that you have to deal with, and I'm going to keep the pressure on you. Congressman, gas prices are killing us, especially business owners who are trying to plan their budgets. What can you do to kind of get these off the roller coaster ride and at least get them steady?
Well, the only way we can do that, Tony, as you know, is to be energy independent. And when we've refused to use all the resources that we have and we continue to purchase our fuel, more specifically, we our energy sources using coal, using nuclear power, that isn't the biggest problem. The biggest problem comes in the fact of the fuel usage that we have. And when we force ourselves to buy from Canada, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, and other parts of the world, as opposed to using the offshore resources, using Alaskan resources that we have, and using to the greater extent resources on our homeland in the Northwest as well as out east, we have a problem. And I think until we get away from what right now the Senate and the administration is blocking and proposing with cap-and-trade type mentality, where we will continue to make it more difficult for people to use resources that are available to us, we will continue to see the gas prices rise because we have no control over it. OPEC certainly isn't going to work in our favor.
All right, Congressman Tim Walberg has been with us. We thank you so much for your time. Look forward to another chat.
Likewise. Have a great weekend.